Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Y'all, who knew that out of this shit show of a season of Below Deck, one bright spot would appear, Poodle, and that's Eddie with a beard.
Oh my God. He always needs to keep that.
Oh, what the fuck?
I'm going to go even further. Fraser looked hot. I don't know what happened.
He did better makeup.
He looked kind of like he wasn't like blousy and prissy like he normally is. He was kind of like, "Hey bro."
"Hey bro." Wow.
I'm really not attracted to that. A little bit I am.
Yeah, you are a little bit. You might want to process
if
that.
If he wore a backwards hat, I'd be into him.
Why would you say that? Now I am too. I kind of am into Eddie without a beard and with. I kind of want to like
I'm
clone
only
him
with a beard.
Oh, I kind of want to clone him and like have Eddie with a beard top me and then Eddie without a beard just, he would top me too. So there we go. Y'all, this is Below Deck.
He'd be on deck.
He'd be on deck.
On dick. On dick. It's Below Dick. The final episode of this season. We made it, you slags. I can't believe it.
That we made it, you slags.
You slags.
All right, Poodle. Overall thoughts on this reunion?
Meh.
It was kind of boring.
There was no Jake to make it spicy or fun.
Well,
it was pretty joyless.
It was joyless, and I'm glad you brought that up. A lot of drama, especially in the deck crew, focused around leadership and Jake, and he wasn't here to talk about it.
Yeah, it's just I don't know. There wasn't. A lot of times there are hookups to talk about. There wasn't any of that.
No.
There was the kiss between Jake and Fraser and a little bit between Raina, but Raina's not talking about it.
And Fraser isn't either.
And Jake's not there. So it's I'm so glad they did not decide to do this as a two-parter. That's what I was worried about. So any Below Deck reunion we can do in 42 minutes meant the season was a snooze.
It's true.
And the less said, the better.
The less said there wasn't even a lot of plot points, y'all. The way we're not gonna go through kind of all of this a play by play, because some stuff was just honestly the same shit we've seen. So and clips, but we wanted to kind of go through and talk about moments that stood out for us. Buoys that were floating on the water.
What?
A buoy, like little.
Was that your tea bags? My buoy?
I don't know. I don't know a lot about sailing, I don't know a lot of sailing terminology.
I think I suggested buoys once instead of tea bags. You're like, no, we're keeping it tea bags.
I don't remember that. Not familiar.
Never
right,
mind.
Though. We should keep it tea bags. All right. Oh, God. I think you did.
Yeah, I did. Oh, wow. I remember it very clearly.
Now I don't like that idea. Let's use tea bags. See? Okay, you're right. Okay. Poodle, what's your first thing you want to discuss?
Besides that Fraser's hot, I completely forgot Jess was on this season.
I did too.
And I'm not saying that to be shady. She left my head. She left my memory.
She did, and it was kind of hard. Honestly, it was hard to recognize her and Raina because they both got their faces beat so much. Y'all, those bitches went to the Mac counter before
this
reunion.
And Jess got a blowout.
Jess got a blowout. She looked good, but they both looked nothing like this on the boat.
And I just was like, I don't know. And like Kaylee was there for like 5 minutes, and I'm like, good, we don't know you. Yes, you were here to be fun. We don't really know, because these people are new, a lot of these people are new except for Eddie. We don't have any old baggage to talk about.
No, we don't.
And because we had strong personalities, but we had no one, this sounds bad, but there was no one really to love except for Rachel.
Except for Rachel. Yeah. And it's to compare it to another Bravo show we do, like to compare it to Summer House, but I was going to say Southern Charm even. These characters have so much history that when they talk about something,
right,
there's so much subtext to what they're saying. And this is just
shallow. Mostly new crew with a new chief stew who got mixed reviews from viewers at best. Let's be honest. At best,
yeah.
They seem to, I'm sure that Heather is probably good at her job. We've seen her do, and I think the crew likes her. With the exception of, Jess and Raina, obviously.
And Raina.
And Captain Lee does, and I think she's filming currently, but I don't think she makes good TV. I think it's very hard for viewers to connect with her. She doesn't show enough. When she does show vulnerability, it is kind of in a way that where she's breaking and almost barely holding on, so it's not comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And it all feels, even though I don't, this may not be her intention, it all feels rehearsed.
Like when she's vulnerable, it feels like it's only on her terms.
So
I get that rehearsed thing you're saying.
And I feel like I'm being judgmental because I don't think it's not that she did badly on the reunion. She was pretty honest about what she thought. I think that's just her affect.
Yeah, I think so too. Because they did talk about how she said, I don't want to be a kindergarten teacher. I don't want to be an encourager. She said, I'm just not that way. And she's just kind of her affect is very sometimes kind of flat.
It's flat. It's cold. And even more than that, I think the only way I can talk about it is, which Raina called her, fake. And I don't think
I don't think she's fake.
I don't think she's fake. I think that's her.
I think she's being very honest with. I think she's being very honest with Raina, but it just feels. But ironically, you have Raina, who's emotional all over the place, and she's speaking out of one side of her mouth in the beginning of the tell-all, and then at the second half, she's speaking out of her other side of her mouth, literally in the same 40-minute show.
Yeah, and you guys, she did do kind of her own tell-all on a podcast on YouTube. Someone kind of did the highlights. We didn't watch, but someone said she basically on this said the tell-all was boring before. This was after she filmed it. And she said now she was basically blaming Eddie and production. And so that was it. And that was talked a little bit about, she did talk about Eddie, and this kind of went around the tell-all got to that near the end. But it was kind of weird. She had decided that the enemy was not Heather by the end.
Yeah, it is. It is funny. Yeah, it totally. Even though she says she's fine with Heather, she doesn't like Heather.
Right.
So she doesn't want to.
That was mine. Is I forgot that Jess was here.
All right. Well, let's talk about Jess, because Jess says that she talked about, you know, Andy kind of asked her, you know, what was her experience. She said the whole experience of the camera crew gave her anxiety, which I get that. And she said it was too much to handle. And, you know, Heather said, yeah, it was rough at first, but then you kind of get used to it. And then, but then Jess came for Heather and said, I think it was wrong of her to put pressure on me and bring me out of laundry and put me under stress. You don't do that to someone. Obviously, she's setting me up for failure.
Yeah, I think that's an unfair thing to say.
100% not true. I do agree, because she did say, first of all, you and I were like, this is a good way for Heather to show some leadership. Right. And also, y'all, Jess fucking asked her like twice. She just, remember y'all, Jess started the season and said, I want to be in laundry. I don't want to see anyone. I don't want to do anything else. I just want to be in laundry. And right. Then she, several weeks later, she's like, can I get out of laundry?
Like, I love laundry. And remember, you guys, why would Heather want to have a failure at all? That's like the last thing she wants. Well, she wants everything to go really well.
Fraser said it correctly when he said that he said he couldn't disagree more. There's no way. I just think, and Heather's right. Heather is right. This is season 9 of this show. She knew what this fucking show was about.
Well, it's, she wasn't ready to be on TV.
She wasn't ready to be on TV. And again, Heather did the same thing of she never voiced concern. I was team Heather on this conversation. I think Jess,
me too.
Honestly, I'm just like, I feel like Jess wants to be a martyr. And she's just like, wah. I just was like, wah. I just think she just didn't want to be on TV. And I think she's just boring.
I think the more you watch these reunions, you will see people have very changed perspectives after they watch themselves. Mm-hmm. Because remember, these are not professional either actors or wannabe.
No, blah, blah.
These are people who have decided they want to be on television. Mm-hmm. And watching themselves makes them see things very differently. And this magical thinking, they've convinced themselves of things.
Yeah.
So you'll see that on Below Deck reunions more than, well, you'll see that on Housewives reunions because they're fucking crazy.
But
you'll see that because they filmed it and they're ready to talk about it all. And it's,
I do think, I think Jess, it felt like she came up with a narrative and she's going to,
exactly.
She said, I can make Heather look like the evil one. And I'm sorry, that just, because it just totally undercuts her. If it was all Heather's fault, when Andy said, Jess, what are you doing now? She could have said, oh, I'm a stew right now on a ship and da 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 da. Instead, she's like, I totally got out of being a stew business. I'm doing something completely different and I couldn't be happier.
Yeah.
I'm like, there you go.
And honestly, y'all, we all knew Jess wasn't long for the boat by episode 2. If you've watched this show for a long time, you're like, when's she leaving? TikTok.
Because TikTok.
She didn't really like anybody. Even Wes, who wanted to bang her, no game Wes, even he really couldn't get her to open up. And we know they don't last very long on shows like this.
No.
So it's just, Jess, we hardly knew ye, and
we don't care to know the rest of
you. I don't need to know you.
Yeah, we're fine.
Good blowout, though. Good blowout.
Good blowout and good journey.
Peace be your journey.
Peace be your journey, Jess.
Someone who said that. Oh, that was one of my neighbors who remember that when someone parked in her space.
Yes, y'all, Poodle had the craziest crunchy neighbor.
She left it on someone's car when they had parked in her space. Yeah. Uh-huh. This is my space. Don't ever park here again. Peace be your journey.
Peace be your journey.
So y'all, every time you were like tell someone to fuck off, get right in their face and say, peace be your journey.
Peace be your journey, bitch. Put that on March. All right, Poodle. Hey. Raina's sober. What do you think about that?
I'm saying good for her because it seems like it's making her. She said that she was.
Did she listen to the show? Because we said several times she has a lot of childhood trauma. And when she said that on the thing, I went,
Well, we said that she has a lot of trauma that she hasn't processed, definitely.
We've said that several times. And when she said that almost verbatim on the show, I don't think she listened.
And I will say that someone like that who's dealing with trauma and you're running away from it with alcohol, and, you know, she didn't obviously drink on duty, but when she would drink, the worst of Raina was brought out. Often.
Yeah, very much.
And
so.
And it did feel like she was drinking to either forget or not feel.
Yeah, it's a lot like Kyle on Summer House.
Mm-hmm. Boy, that's a sad comparison, but you're right.
Spot on, sadly. So I'm glad she's
I'm glad she's making changes. Like, and that's what I'll say. I'm glad she's making changes.
Yes, I'm glad Rachel's had a great influence on her and that was great. I'm happy for her.
And Rachel told her in the hotel after they were filming, this is the time you need to find your demons and to fix that shit. Because I think Rachel was trying to do her a solid by saying, if you want to be in this industry, you can't no one, the volatility which you show. And that's something that people say, not sure I want that on my boat.
Yeah. So but she's got along again, y'all. I kind of thought maybe she was one of those people that watched this show and maybe
me too.
Made a turn. And then, y'all, spoiler alert, she's going to be shitty in the latter part of the show.
I mean, she did bring up, we'll talk about it. But she did bring up some interesting points, but like,
I'm really talking about her and Wes.
Yeah. I mean, I think there was more than just that, but we'll get to it. I want to talk about Rachel, and Rachel was one of the big she kind of got a – I'm glad they
you
brought
you want to ride in her bus so badly,
God,
don't you?
Yo, Rachel got her bus. I said it last season. Rachel's one of my favorite chefs of all time. I do have a soft spot for Ben because even though he's dirty and gross,
we're not on video. I forgot. You want him to? I was making a bang.
No, symbol. I love. He's just so British and just spiny with his insults. I'll always love Ben, but like Rachel has the same. You guys, you expect cuckoo crazy out of a chef. That's just what you expect. Mm-hmm. But Rachel's brought this. She's brought crazy and fun. But she does stuff she does her job so well. And I'm glad she brought this up. And everyone else, and remember we had this saying, I said this, and I don't know what you said. I think you may have poo-pooed me. But she said, you know, shellfish and fish are completely different. And I said, yeah. And you're like, well, it is kind of the same.
No, I still disagree with that. I think it's a very culinary perspective to think that. I think... Because what I was thinking of when I said that is I think about people from like where I am right now in Oklahoma, shellfish and fish is it's all from the sea. Oh, to them, it's
no,
fish.
But they're so different.
I understand from a culinary perspective, and you're not a chef, but you are a seasoned cook.
Yeah,
I think of it personally as different. But some of these people that are coming on these boats are not from Los Angeles or from Maine or places where there's seafood. If you're from Dallas, Texas, shellfish and cod are both fish.
Wow,
I'm telling you.
Anyway, I was still kind of surprised by that because I still think they're very different. But anyway, I get it. I like when Rachel's like, I'm not making raw lobster.
Not making raw lobster.
And they talked about the jaw wired shut lady and the blended oysters, which was my puke moment of the season. Anyway, but I just think Rachel has, even though we saw the worst of Rachel when she had to deal with someone who wasn't upfront with her. Strangely enough, Rachel is fine if you give her just enough information. If you give her too much, like Heather, she gets upset. And if you don't give her anything like Francesca last season, you will face her wrath and you will have to eat her cooter. Yeah. Anyway, that's mine.
Not my liking. All right, y'all. We're going to talk about the stew situation when we come back from this break.
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale. That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Poodle, I gotta tell you, I think I just made one of the best investments for myself.
Oh, thank God. You got rid of those braces and decided to sew your mouth completely shut. Perfect.
No, the doctor just added 4 more months.
Oh, I think he's trolling me at this point.
No. See, now that I'm putting myself out there.
No one wants to hear about your dating life.
But you talk about yours all the time.
Because mine is interesting.
Well, I wanted to let you know that I took a page from your book and it worked.
Ooh, you slept with their ex to make them jealous?
No.
You pulled their credit report?
What?
Made a copy of their keys while they were sleeping?
How are you not in jail?
Deny, deny, deny.
No, Poodle. I decided to get myself a pair of Me Undies great new underwear, which makes my, important parts look more junk forward.
Junk forward? Wait, are you talking about the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies?
Yes, the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies.
I love the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies. There's no other way to date in this world. If you're not dating junk forward, you're doing it wrong.
I think you're right. And you never told me that they're so comfortable.
Well, usually I'm not wearing them that long. But yes, they are so soft. And the more you wash them, the softer they get. And they still keep you tucked and lifted in all the right places. When I wear them, I can barely keep men away from me. Oh, the way they stare. They look like burly, hungry cavemen searching for a nice meal after a long caveman day of nomadically crossing the tundra. To them, I'm like a piece of meat roasting over an open, smoky flame.
Speaking of smoking, not only does my junk look great in MeUndies, but my butt looks hot.
Okay, no one wants to hear your over-sexualized descriptions. Have some class.
Sissies, we've fallen in love with MeUndies, and you can too. They have a style for everyone. From all-black classics to fun, expressive prints, MeUndies has a look for everyone. Plus, they come in sizes extra small to 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for everybody.
And MeUndies isn't just about underwear. Explore the lounge collection featuring joggers, hoodies, onesies, and more. With unmatched comfort, MeUndies signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug from your favorite sweater. It's breathable, stretchy, and oh so comfy, making it ideal for all-day wear.
And they use sustainably sourced materials and work with partners that care for their workers.
And you know Mother Poodle loves a return policy. Not happy with the first pair of MeUndies? It's on MeUndies. Cough!
Sissies, good things come in big packages at MeUndies. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/RealityGaze.
That's MeUndies.com/RealityGaze for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies.
Oh my God, Poodle, I can't stop singing that song either. It's so catchy.
So catchy. Sissies, we are obsessed with the Songfinch original song that we premiered at the Toronto Live Show. Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever.
For example, we wanted to create a song dedicated to our Canadian listeners, some of which have waited 4 to 5 years to see us live. After the show, we had so many people tell us how special the song made them feel, and we are still getting DMs and comments about it.
And the Songfinch songwriter was so clever, incorporating all our sissy references like Aunt Peggy's Lip, Elizabeth Smart, and even Keep Going Queens.
Yes. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
You can also choose unique add-ons to make the gift even more personalized, like a vinyl record of your song or a piece of one-of-a-kind art made from your lyrics. You can even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or a wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anywhere, anytime.
Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us, too.
Songfinch.com/realitygaze. Now, Gary, play us out with a little bit of our Songfinch original song to all our queens.
Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Hey, hey,
our Canadian listeners. We know you get tired of waiting. Reality Gaze is coming to you. So no more complaining. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Love yourself, never be ashamed. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
All right, we're back. Poodle got situated.
Well, my cord is falling on my leg, and it tickles me, and I don't like it.
Oh, and you haven't been feeling well, and so you haven't had a man's touch for a while, so it probably also makes you aroused.
It's been a long time since I felt the touch of a man. Oh, the whiskey on his breath. As his firm, hard, coarse calluses rubbed across my milky thighs.
And his wife calling his cell phone.
Oh, his goddamn wife.
Okay. Let's
know
talk
her
about,
ring.
Let's talk about the stew situation. And meaning, Andy Cohen asked Captain Lee, he said, you know, there was a lot of problems with the stew this season. And he said, you know, Captain Lee, I'm going to ask you, who do you blame? Who's the main kind of beginning of this problem? And Captain Lee says, very Captain Lee, get it? He says, who's to blame for the problem this season? He said, it's me. The blame lies with me. I'm the captain. It all falls on me. And I laughed when he said this, Poodle, because I thought in my head, what would Captain Sandy say when Andy asked that, Poodle?
Well, there are situations where it's not about whose fault it is. It's about learning from a situation. And yes, maybe it was your fault. Maybe it was his fault. Maybe it was all of your faults. The most important thing is that I stood here and watched all of you do it. And I witnessed all of it. So I can be here to tell you how wrong you did it. That's the most important thing. And you know, that's how we're going to become a ship-shape ship. You know what ship-shape is? That's how a ship moves. Ship-shape. Like, things are in the shape of a ship.
We get
understand?
It, yeah, we get it. We get it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Come see my C word tour.
See, so instead of
C word,
the C, like, yeah, like that show with Laura Linney?
Yeah, come see the C word.
Okay.
That's not what it is, but it's something like seaworthy or it's something awful. It's something
I forgot what it's called.
Lead her ship tour. God. Or C is for courage.
C is for courage.
It's some shit like that. The other C word.
The other C word.
God, I hate her. You know what? I want, after this season of Below Deck, give me another Captain Sandy season, because at least I can fucking hate watch her.
Yes, 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 yes. Okay, so let's, they kind of talk about stuff in like Raina eye rolling and all this kind of, and Captain Lee's thoughts on how Eddie did. And although Captain Lee, he gave a long explanation, but he never answered the question if I would bring back Eddie as the first officer.
No, he did not.
I think he would, but he didn't answer that question.
I think, and this is just me thinking here, this may be completely off base, and I may be thinking way too much of Bravo, of what Bravo will do if they don't care. I think, I don't know if Eddie has a future in, from the way Eddie handled, he might be fruit of the poison tree.
Where they feel like they need to take, you know, well, we'll talk, you're talking about the N-words. Okay, so let's talk about that now.
So I don't know. Maybe they'll keep him. Maybe. I was kind of surprised he was back, frankly, because his situation with Rocky and kind of gaslighting her. And he's liked, weirdly, he's liked by a good 60% of the Below Deck audience. I always forget why I should dislike him, because he's a good time, fun guy. And then I'm reminded, I'm like, oh, right, he did that. So I don't know. We'll see.
Y'all, this kind of segment starts with Andy Cohen saying,
God, still the worst host. Fuck.
Let's talk about Heather's use of the N-word. The N-word should not be said by white people ever anywhere. How brave.
I know. He's like, let's all get something straight.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of ridiculous that he has to say it, but then maybe I'm like, well, people still need to hear that.
Well,
but still, after Bravo being totally radio silent on all of this.
Right. Like lip service.
Y'all, I want you to think about the way TLC handled the comments Alina made. And Alina didn't even say the N-word on a 90 Day Fiancé show. She just said it in her Instagram. Or the way that
I can't believe we're praising TLC, but yes.
Or the way Bravo has handled Jenny on Salt Wives. And now they made a statement about Jenny that she's no longer going to be on the show.
And know that, I will say, not to pat Andy Cohen on the back, Andy Cohen is not a producer on Below Deck.
That's true.
Is a producer on the Housewives franchise.
He is a producer, so maybe so they finally, made a stance. And so, we don't need to go into, I think what's more important, Heather, she's appalled, she apologizes again, we've heard this. And so we hear a little bit of Raina kind of talking about how, and I understand this and I sympathize with Raina of this. She didn't want to bring this up and keep bringing the angry black woman.
Yeah.
She said, I don't want people to say, oh, look, she's going ghetto. I get that. That's a reason. And that is a reason why a lot of women don't speak up and say things.
Yeah.
Black women. And so I get that.
I totally understood where she was coming from. Yeah. There. Yeah. And I know why she didn't want to be. I did have a problem when she's like, you know, I just wanted to be cordial and I just wanted to keep going. That's what you weren't, though.
But she wasn't. That's it, deal. That, like, I get it. You weren't cordial and you didn't keep going. And it was affecting your job.
Yeah.
So,
it was disrupting a work environment.
And so then we find out, this was one good thing about this reunion. Poodle and I always say a reunion should give closure to some things, or it should shed light or new information that we didn't know. And new information is, we didn't know that Eddie and Raina, because y'all, Poodle and I said this too on the show, Eddie totally shit the bed with the way he handled the Raina thing. Totally shit the bed.
And we found out there was some more stuff off camera that wasn't showed. And we both kept saying, why does this feel like it has been discussed? She's like, I talked to you three times. I'm like, we saw it once. Didn't seem like he knew even then what to do about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
it's and then we saw a little bit, and then so basically he was talking to her. It wasn't a non. We had never seen this scene where he was saying, "Well, don't." He's like, "I know." He's like, "But you've said things like the F word." He's meaning faggot, basically. And she said,
"We can say that, y'all. Y'all can't."
But she said, "No, I didn't say that." She said, "My sister is gay. I would never say that." And Andy said, "We could not corroborate that with production, but we did find it one time." And I was kind of like, it was all a little confusing.
It wasn't clear. And then Raina kind of started going off and yelling. She's like, "He's trying to discredit me." And he's like, "No, Raina, I'm saying we didn't find it." And then they showed the clip. And it was, y'all, whether Raina said it or not, I felt like, I want to know your take on it, but I felt like it was cringy. Like,
it was.
Even if she did say the F word, wrong place, wrong time. Right. This isn't about that.
It's not fair to equate the two. It's not fair to equate any type of being offended by that word or the other or the N word. It's not fair to equate any of that. It's not fair to say, "Well, you did this, so it's okay that she did that." It's not fair, and it's not just. No.
And I can understand.
Eddie fucked up big time.
And I almost wish they would have shown that, because that would have made, this is a bit on editing, of we felt like Raina, like, what's going on with Raina that she can't get past this with Eddie? That would have brought a lot more context to me for that, of seeing her frustration with that.
And I we were talking about this before the show. And Captain Lee said something like,
Raina did say, "You tried to ruin me." He did not try to ruin you. He's a clueless, white, male, privileged man who doesn't have any fucking idea of how to handle this.
Right.
That's not an excuse, but
I don't think he actively tried to ruin her.
Yeah, I don't think he tried to ruin her.
What Captain Lee said, because they asked him, and he's like, "Well, Heather apologized. We referred it to production." Because this is the thing, you guys. Yes, maritime law is important and you have to do all this. Production makes the calls.
Well, yeah, production, I want you to finish.
Production decides what's to do.
I want you to finish. We took it
we
to production.
We referred this to production, and production said,
there was an investigation.
There was an investigation.
And then they concluded no further action is required.
So production decided no further action was required. And it's kind of like we've been hard on the cast, and we've demanded answers from the cast. No one has demanded an answer from production.
Yes, and so exactly.
I think Raina tried to, but she did it in a way of saying, "Y'all didn't blah." She kind of accused production instead of saying, "Why didn't you do this?" When either
she didn't do the mother poodle way of asking people. But wait a minute. And trying to just get an explanation instead of accusing them. All this part, I'm watching this and I'm going, okay, Raina, I see you.
I completely kind of like, I understand why you were upset. I understand you must have felt really gaslit and I completely was there with her. And
I was like, okay, you've got beautiful makeup. You're working on your demons. I see why Eddie was. Am I still going to start to like you, Raina? Like, am I going to start to think that you could be a fun person to hang out with? Am I? Oh, wait. Let's talk about Wes and Raina.
Now, they do bring it up near the end. They bring it up right near the very end of the show. And Wes says, Andy says, "What did you guys discuss this? Where are you, Wes?" And he's like, "I'd love to discuss it fully one day." And they, and I think Andy said, "Would you want to apologize for that?"
He said, "I get it all." It broke my heart when he said, "I get it all the time. I get it.
And there were two things that really like hurt watching is Raina actually self-soothing, like moving back and forth, mm-hmm. and everything she's going through, probably really testing her sobriety in this. And like her physically, she was hard to take. And Wes saying, "I get this all the time." It was so two different, very
which is what she did. Raina did that on the boat. She kind of had those moments of like, yeah, it had, like when she would, when Heather would apologize to her, you would kind of see her shrink her in herself and be like, I get it. And then for Raina to sit there and to not fucking apologize to him on air was, I think, such a shitty, shitty thing to do. And I just, any sympathy or likability I had for her was completely flushed down the fucking toilet.
Yeah, because that was a really, besides the initial inward moment, this was the second one.
This was the second, and it goes back to what I say, like, y'all, you can have all the sympathy for world in the world for Raina because someone said the N-word in her company, but at the end of the day, Raina's a shitty, selfish person.
Yeah.
And yeah, I
can't see someone who's been disenfranchised, and I can't approve them disenfranchising someone else right in front of them.
And even if she, and Raina might say, Raina might say, well, I'm not sorry. I don't fucking give a care. Be an adult and say you're sorry to someone who's hurting that is of your own, even if they're only half your race. I just can't imagine calling someone, saying that to someone who is like, if I said to like a, let's say, this is a bad phrase to describe it, not a good one, but if, let's say, a man was straight acting and I yelled at him and said, you're not even gay, you don't even act gay, you act like a straight man, like, and then I have a chance, like, I know what being discriminated against feels like. Raina knows, she just was.
I think
her poor therapist has a lot to deal with.
I think she probably never forgave him forgave Wes for not taking up for her. And I feel like she's not ready to.
Then say that. Then say, I shouldn't have said that to you. That was a shitty thing. That I was hurting because I wanted you to take up for me, but that's not really the truth. I should have. That's all we would have needed to hear.
I agree.
And then we could have had a conversation of, should Wes have taken up for her? And what was that like for her to be on her own? And I would feel sympathy for her again.
Right. I agree.
I never want to see her again on my TV.
And then my favorite part of this reunion was when Andy went, well, I guess that's it for now. And I went,
it just kind of ended.
It's the worst transitions in the world.
It does.
Well, we had a great season.
We had a great captain.
No, you didn't, you piece of shit.
No, you didn't. Captain Lee gives a gold star for he gives a gold star for Wes on the crew, which I agree with. And Fraser is now a chief stew.
Yeah. Woo! What did when he explained why he gave the gold star for Wes, I didn't follow.
He said because he actually said because Wes kept his head down, he accepted his mistakes and he learned and he corrected his mistakes and he actually kind of just was a good team player. That's basically what I got from it.
I guess, but we didn't see any of that because all the other drama that was happening.
Yes.
I'm not saying he wasn't. I'm saying we didn't see any of that.
No, we didn't.
We saw Wes, there was some stuff blew away, but that was like after about episode 5 or 6, we kind of forgot about that.
Yeah.
And Wes has been just kind of like, he did keep his head down. I guess, who else can you give it to? Because obviously not Eddie, and obviously not Raina.
No.
So Jake's not there.
You're not going to give it to Heather, the person who said the N-word. No. That's true.
So, no, I don't doubt that that happened. I'm saying we did not see that in footage.
We didn't see it. Yeah. I don't care anymore. We're done, y'all. We're done. Selling yacht better bring it.
February 21st, y'all, this show, I've only watched, I never watched season one because I started watching season one and it was a snooze. And so I stopped. But everyone says Sailing Yacht season two was unbelievable. I've watched a couple episodes and they're right. So I'm very excited to see Captain Glenn and Daisy and some of the other hot guys.
I'm excited too, y'all. So we'll be doing that. In the meantime, y'all, this weekend, Love is Blind is dropping just in time for Valentine's Day on Netflix. And a lot of you, if you don't remember Love is Blind, it was a couple years ago, but it blew up on Netflix. It blew up for us too. A lot of people found us through Love is Blind.
Love is Blind.
We're going to be putting two episodes up on the free feed, and that's a Patreon show, so our Supercast show. So that's going to go on the $5 tier. I think it's like normally 12 or 13 episodes, something like that, or 10?
I think it's 10, with maybe, 10. Maybe an 11 with the reunion.
But they do the reunion later. So, but we will be doing Love is Blind. We're super excited about that. Sailing Yacht, and then there was something. Oh, our crossover.
Yes. Oh. I was like, what?
What?
So we're doing for our Patreon, for our $5 Patreon, we do a Bi-Curious every month. And however, for this month, for the previous month of January, we're going to do a crossover Bi-Curious with the podcast Surviving Sister Wives on Sister Wives.
Y'all have begged us to do this.
The experts. We did not just want to watch 16 seasons of shows.
No.
But we're going to watch like the one episode and maybe a little bit of the tell-all, and we're going to say how our predictions. That's Corey and Carly from Surviving Sister Wives. And we'll be dropping our part on our free feed, and they will do the second half on their feed. For the Patreon, it'll all be in one place, though.
Yeah, there you go.
All right.
Hey, everybody, go to our Linktree link. Come see us in Los Angeles at the Regent Theater on February 27th. That's coming up. Get your tickets now.
I'm not going to announce it today because I'm going to announce it on Wednesday. Well, maybe it's already been announced. It's already been announced, so I can say it. Maybe I can.
This show will go. No, yeah, this will go up on Wednesday. You can announce it.
This is going to be announced, y'all. We have a special guest for our show in LA at the Regent. We have Katie and Kimberly from Date with Dateline, and they'll be talking. We're so excited. It's the first time they've ever done like a live show. And
yes.
I asked them and they said yes. So I'm very excited. We're very excited. And they're going to talk about 90 Day. We're talking about Love After Lockup because they do that for their Patreon. And we're going to talk a little bit about Dateline, some crazy shit. That they want to talk about.
They want to talk about. So
talk about, I love it. Talk about.
Talk about. Talk about. All right, everybody. Thank
so
you.
So many things.
Thank you for not jumping ship with us on this season of Below Deck.
Boy. I promise it gets better. This was such a bad season for you to like, you sailing join this
yacht.
Franchise.
I'm giving you Sailing Yacht, and if it sucks, I'm jumping ship. Mm. All right, everybody.
I wouldn't blame you.
All right, everybody, we appreciate you so much. Go to our website, Reality Gaze, and our Instagram, and the Linktree link to buy tickets. And until next season, y'all, all we have to say is
Anchors again!
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.